Thank you for being here this morning. Good to see you on a cold morning in Indiana. Whew. 10 degrees. This is the kind of morning that creates true holy rollers. They flip on the radio and the announcer says 10 degrees and they roll over and go back to sleep. I'm glad you're here. You're in the right place. Tonight will be a special service. As we have announced earlier, Brother and Sister Jordan are refocusing their ministry and going to be doing some evangelistic work for a while. We will miss them. We'll be reflecting on that tonight in the service. But I want to remind you that there will be a shower and reception for them after the service, and you're all invited down there, a little card shower, and you'll have an opportunity to express to them how much we've appreciated the time and the effort and the energy and the talents that they've shared with us over the past few years. It's wonderful how the Lord through the years has sent some tremendous young ministers and people along our way to help us and just to give us a lift. And I'm very grateful, and I'll be reflecting on that tonight, but I just hope that you'll be focused on that in our special reception tonight. Now, let's turn. If we get out by 12 o'clock, we've got to get moving. Note, I didn't say we was going to get out at 12 o'clock. Acts chapter 12. And I'll read the first 8 verses or so. Acts chapter 12, starting at verse number 1, if you'll follow along for the reading of the word. We've been having some tremendous prayer meetings this week. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Great night last night as we prayed for the sick, and a wonderful 2-hour prayer meeting last night. It was just a rich, rich presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I want to thank all of you that have been reflecting on how the Lord has strengthened you and touched you during these prayer meetings. We're in our 12th or 13th day now, and we'll continue next week. On Monday night will be the special night, our first night of music and meditation. We had it previously announced on Tuesday, but it'll be Monday night for music and meditation. That's tomorrow night. And we'll have 90 minutes of uninterrupted music. No announcements, no commercials, just singing for 90 minutes. And we'll be praying and reading and reflecting and meditating. And I know the singers are going to be ready. They're going to minister to us. How many know you can be ministered to in song and music? And so that will be tomorrow night. And bring your friends. And some of them never been to a service like this before. And it will be a great blessing to them. Now, Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Which I think is the most fascinating verse of this whole sequence here. Because the apostle is following the angel, but in terms of his own consciousness, is not sure if he's living real life or if he is somehow experiencing a dream. Let's pray together that God will help us. Lord, in the next few minutes, touch us, speak to us, talk to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. We've been praying here in the church as individuals and collectively as a church. And I believe people are praying all over the world. And people are asking God, "God, would you come by and bless me? Would you visit with us? Would you give us a fresh anointing, a new inspiration?" And it's a good prayer. We ought to pray that prayer. Prayer is in its very essence an invitation for God to come and visit with us. But note this and mark it well. If God should truly visit with us, it will not be without a serious interruption of everything that's normal in our life, in our church, because the very meaning of a visitation is an interruption. So this is my text today. A visitation from God means an interruption into your life. It is a holy interruption. It is a spiritual interruption, but it is nevertheless an interruption. Now, it will be okay for you to say amen. I hope I'm not preaching to the first church of the newly departed. I'm going to say it again because I really want you to get this. There cannot be an visitation from God unless it means an interruption. The two things go together. God comes, our lives are interrupted. As a matter of fact, you can't even have someone in your home without an interruption. How many times have you seen someone pull up in the driveway and you say, "Oh, goodness, they're here. I could not tell you the number of times I've rushed into the kitchen, swept the dishes off the counter, threw toys into the closet, picked up newspapers and stuffed them in the garbage. Somebody's coming. Oh, Lord, help them stumble. Give me just an extra minute. Coffee cups still on the coffee table. Last night's midnight cereal bowl with clabbered milk. Don't get haughty on me now. See, a visitation is an interruption. So if your relatives come to your house, it is an interruption. If Michael Jackson came to your house, it'd be an interruption. You can't have any kind of visit from anybody, but what it wouldn't be an interruption. What makes you think that if God comes to your house, it wouldn't be an interruption? What makes you think if God's presence and power and anointing came upon us in a fresh way, it would not be an interruption? The Apostle Peter here in Acts chapter 12 gets a visitation from the angel of God. It is an interruption. It was a welcome interruption, but it was an interruption. And we need so desperately to be arrested by the Holy Spirit. We need to be interrupted by the Holy Spirit. The world is way too smug. We're way too secure in our self-righteousness. We think we got our act together. We think we know what to do to solve all the problems of the world. Make no mistake about it. I mentioned this morning in the Bible class. The world is not a bunch of idiots out there. The folks at the Tower of Babel were not dingbats. They were quite capable of building that tower into the heavens. God knew this. The Bible even refers to that point. That's why God destroyed the Tower of Babel. The people that are building this modernistic, pluralistic world are not idiots. They have an agenda. They have a program. And they may well get some things done that will be very dangerous for us. But we've got a God that can come on the scene at any time. We've got a God that can come into your life any time. But don't think you can have a visitation from God without an interruption. Don't think God will come to your house unless you get prepared for Him. Don't think God will come unless you are able to receive the things of God. Don't get smug and say, "Well, we've got it all together. We don't need God." No, we don't have it all together. And we desperately do need God. I don't know about you, but I need Him in my life. I think this church needs a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I think you need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. If we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to entertain ourselves into oblivion. If we're not careful, we're going to rock ourselves into a spiritual death from which we will never awaken. But if our soul will cry out, "Touch me one more time, strengthen me one more time, minister to me one more time." The arrogance of this world is absolutely stunning. It's so unbelievable sometimes. I took a visit several years ago. I don't know what it's like now, but I visited Epcot Center down in Disney World. How many's ever been there? Epcot Center. And they have a place down there. I think they've since done away with it, but if I recall, it was sponsored by some major company, maybe Kraft Cheese or something like that. And it was kind of a ride of sorts that took you through this display of the world and what the world was going to be like and how modern the world was going to be and how everything was going to be solved. And they took you into these displays at that time. It may still be there, I don't know. But they took you into these displays of some man's vision of how we could live underwater. And then there was another display that told us how we were going to live in outer space and explained the space station to us. And they showed how we could grow tomatoes in outer space. And they had examples of tomatoes being grown inside a weightless environment and how they had to do the roots and all that. Is that display still there? It's quite amazing. But it was very thematic. The language of it was very thematic. And I was listening to all of this and observing it and thinking about it. And I noticed that they were basically saying something to us. It had a very strong message. And I said to Sister Mooney, I said, "Do you hear that message?" She said, "What message? I just can't wait till we get out of here. I don't hear nothing except..." Because she's claustrophobic, you know. You turn the lights out, she's gone. I mean, you know, she's a wild cat. And so, not going to go there with you. Sorry about that. I mean, in terms of her claustrophobia. How does a preacher recover from something like this? I tried not to stop. I knew not to stop. I teach students not to stop at these kind of junctures. But sometimes you're just overwhelmed with... I said, "You know, there's a theme here. You hear what they're saying?" And I wrote it down, and it was very clear. It was like, "Don't worry, we've got it all together. It doesn't matter what happens. We can take you down in the ocean, and we'll provide life for you there. We can take you up in space, and we'll provide life for you there. So just relax. You're in our hands. Disney is at work. Kraft Cheese is at work. General Motors is at work. Enron is at work." Now, folks, that's what the world wants you to think, just kind of lull you to sleep like a mother would caress a child. But you can't afford to get too sleepy in these times. You can't afford to put your trust in man. You can't lean on the arm of the flesh. No, no, no. You've got to stay awake. There needs to be something inside of you, a troubling inside your soul, a stirring inside your soul that says, "God, I cannot depend on Disney. I can't depend on the companies of this world. I can't depend on the money of this world. You've got to come. You've got to visit us. We can handle the interruption." I said, "We can handle the interruption." As a matter of fact, when compared to the glory of God and the power of God, our little stuff doesn't matter a whole lot. Give me Jesus. Take this whole world. Give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus more than silver or gold. Take this whole world. You can have it, but let me have a brand new touch. Someone, clap your hands to the Lord. Help me preach a little bit now. Yes, 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 yes. I don't know about you, but I don't feel very secure. The great Job was thinking about his own life, and he said that he thought, the scriptures describe this, he said, "I will die in my nest. I will die in my nest." That's the way the world thinks. You see it expressed everywhere. Their little houses, their little cars, their little worlds, their little bank accounts, their little retreats, their little cabins out by the lake, and their little existence, and all of their plans, and their retirement, and their stuff, and all of their little power plays, and their relationships, and they think that they don't need God. But oh, we do need God to come. We do need Him to come, because we can't make it on our own. One of my favorite little stories to tell, and I know I may have shared it with you before, but please tolerate me just a minute. I want to reshare this little story with you. I was on an airplane, and There was an all-American family, mother, dad, and I think two or three children. And they took up two roles. And there was a little daddy on the airplane, and Mickey and I were sitting there, and it was so cute. And the little daddy turned to his kids. He said, "All right, are you ready? We've got to help this plane. This plane can't make it unless we help this plane." And this great, big, giant airplane is taxiing down the runway. And the dad said, "Come on now, come on." And he got all of his little kids pumping their arms. And the little boy in front of us was going, just pumping his little arms. And daddy kept saying, "That's it, flap your wings, flap your wings." And they just got so excited. It was the most emotional little family. And Sister Mooney and I and everybody, we're just laughing. And these little kids are just pumping their arms. "Come on, come on." And daddy's going, "That's it, that's it." He's talking to the little cracker. "Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on." And sure enough, the plane took off. And dad turns to his little family and says, "Good job." Now, we all know that those children had nothing to do with getting that plane up in the air. But the sad truth is that there are many people that depend upon their own little superficial efforts. So many people are as disillusioned as perhaps those children might have been to some degree, thinking that somehow we can flap our wings hard enough and bad enough to get this life of ours off the ground. But no, I tell you 1,000 times no, we need an interruption from God. We need God to come. And when He comes, He'll bring healing. When He comes, He'll bring power. When He comes, He'll bring a song. When He comes, He'll bring joy. When He comes, He brings peace. When He comes, He brings righteousness and hope and mercy and grace and love. Oh, what a wonder it is. Have you ever talked to some people and you could just tell they didn't want you to come by? Have you ever met those people say, "Come over sometime," and you know they don't mean it? That's the difference between southern people and northern people. If you go down south, everybody invites you out. "Hey, bro, how you doing? Come on over and see me sometime." You better not show up. They'll shoot you. Stick their dog on you. Now, Michigan's totally different. I spent 22 years in Michigan. People are not real warm and fuzzy in Michigan. There are exceptions, of course. Of course, like Sister Baker. She's nice. I saw you sitting up there, so I thought I'd better cover this Michigan thing here. But it is true, you know. Of course, you have southern roots, so. But, you know, you get out there with all those kind of Finnish and Norwegians and some of those Polish people that live up in Michigan. There's more Polish people live in Michigan than live in Poland. And they're not real warm and fuzzy. If you're in the restaurant, they'll wait on you, serve your coffee, they'll do a good job. But they don't want to necessarily make contact. They're not interested in bringing you into their lives. This is kind of perfunctionary. They'll do a good job, but if they don't know you, they don't know you. And they're certainly not going to say, "Come and see me sometime." They're not going to say that. But if they ever do say that, they really mean it. If you ever really make a friend, if you ever really bond, so to speak, then it's a friend for life. And they'll stay with you through good times and bad times. But sometimes we get these little signals, you know, these little superficial. I think church is like that sometimes, you know. There's the people who just say, "Come on, see me, God." They don't mean it. Because if God comes, they will not tolerate the interruption. Oh, they want God, perhaps on their terms. Just like some of your friends. They want your friendship on their terms, but not if your friendship interrupts them too much or ask too much of them. But you can't have a real visitation without a real interruption. And we can't make it by ourselves. We need desperately this interruption. You know, some people kind of have, and I close with this, some people kind of have this little, oh, what shall I say? It's kind of like a little angel mentality. They want angels. You know, well, maybe we don't need God to come. So if God just send His angel. Have you ever thought about all the times that angels visited people in the Bible? It wasn't good. Now, you folks that watch television, all you know about angels is your television angels. You don't know much about angels. Bible angels were totally different than that. Bible angels interrupted your life. Bible angels did just what this angel did in Acts chapter 12. This angel found Peter in a very precarious position. He was in prison between two soldiers, and the Bible said the angel smote him. And the angel said, get up, put on your shoes. The chains fell off of his hand. And the angel said, follow me, get your coat on. See, angels, every time they visited men in the Bible, almost inevitably said things like, get up, come on, rise. Time to put your coat on. Time to get moving. Time to get going. When an angel visited Moses, the angel said, Moses, it's time to go see Pharaoh. He said, I can't go see Pharaoh. I stutter. And the angel said, you just go. And when you get there, God will speak to you. God will help you. I'll give you Aaron to back you up. But you know the truth was, when Moses got there, he didn't need the help of Aaron because he obeyed God. And he said to Pharaoh, eyeball to eyeball, let my people go. Clap your hands to the Lord if you love Him. We need a visitation. But a visitation is going to mean an... If I get a visitation from God or an angel, it's going to be an interruption to my life. Can you imagine God coming into your house or sending an angel into your house and saying, well, Guffy, old boy, keep up the good work, man. I got nothing to say to you. No. That's not what God would do. When God comes, His presence comes. He usually brings a revelation to us, a revelation of ourselves, a revelation of His will. A revelation of His purpose. It's always an interruption. I've never been in a good service where the presence of the Lord came that I didn't feel interrupted. When God is in a sermon, it interrupts your thinking. When God is in a song, it interrupts your emotions. And when God comes to your life, comes to your private devotional prayer meeting, it's an interruption of your paradigms, an interruption of your whole living. That's why many people don't come to church, because they fear this interruption of their lifestyle. Stand with me. I'd like to preach longer, but I'm going to let you go. There's a connection between the visitation of God and interruption. And the people who have friends in their homes are the people who are given to hospitality. They're given to interruptions. I've known people that I doubt if they've ever had anybody in their home. Maybe the meter guy to read the gas meter or something like that. No hospitality. But people buy a couch and put plastic over it. Nobody ever sits on it. They brag about it. That couch right there, 45 years old, nobody's ever sat on it. Why did you buy it? Yeah, there's my great-great-great-grandma's china right there. Nobody in the family's ever used it. So it's just a collection, right? Just a collection. What if our lives just kind of become covered in plastic? We're like an antique car in the garage nobody ever drives. See, an interruption has got to be welcomed before you can ever get the presence of God. You got to say, God, it's no bother. I need you, God. I'm tired of doing only what I can do. I'm tired of living only within the dynamics of my own thinking and my own understanding. I want you to come. Would you just raise your hands with me right now as we sing and invite God. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. I welcome the interruption. I welcome the interruption. Oh God, shake up my world. Shake up my world, God. Just as I am, I come to you, God. I want you to interrupt me. I want you to shake up my life. I want you to shake up this church. I want you, God, to shake up every part of my life. Direct me, help me. In the name of Jesus, help me, Jesus. Oh, God, in your name, in your name. I wonder how many in this place right now Whoever you are, saint or sinner, member or visitor, I'm inviting you to come to this altar someplace and say, God, would you come by and visit with me? Would you send an angel? God, would you smote me on the side? Would you whack me upside the head? Would you stir me? Would you anoint me? I'm tired of doing the same old thing. I'm tired of living in the same old condition. I want a visitation, and I'm not afraid of the interruption. I'm not afraid of the interruption. Come on now.
Oh, into my heart.
Everybody,
into my heart.
I'm waiting, Calvary. Where are you at?
Come in.
Calvary, young people, where are you at? Do you want God to come into your life? I feel like my family is slipping away. I feel like I'm losing my children. I feel like I'm losing my grip on my faith. You know what you need? You need God to come into your life. You need a fresh touch into your life. You don't need more of this world. You need God. Let Him come. Invite Him to come. Don't worry about the interruption. When God is pleased with you, you'll be better off. You'll be stronger. Once again, let's say, I'm still waiting in the Holy Ghost for somebody. I'm still waiting for somebody.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in.
Oh God. Try to get through. Come into my heart. Could I just interrupt your Sunday? Can I say, come on now? Come on and ask God to interrupt your life. I dare you to come and say, God, whatever you want of me, interrupt my life. Send me. Come wherever you want me to go. Help me to do whatever you want me to do. I welcome the interruption. I welcome the interruption. Help us to welcome your presence into our life. Help us to welcome, God, your anointing and your touch into our lives. Oh, God. Help us, God, to be open about it. Help us, God, to be willing. In the name of Jesus. God, in your presence. If you must go, God bless you. Don't forget tonight at 6:30. These altars are still open. Have a blessed day is our prayer for you. Thanks to all of our visitors and friends that are with us. Let's keep worshiping the Lord for a little while. Into my heart. Into my heart.